Hi there, and thanks for joining us. On this podcast, we talk about superfast broadband and its rollout in Cork. We hear about the coffee truck that is as good at hurling as it is at baking cakes, and the threat to small and medium enterprises from cyber criminals. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Broadband became really, really important over the last 12 months. Can't imagine why. But access to really good broadband is going to become a lot more important in the years ahead, because working from home is going to become more significant and more regular. And if you are indeed a business, you want to make sure you have access to the fastest speeds possible. Well, my next guest is one of the people who has made it their mission to ensure that homes have the best quality broadband. I'm delighted to be joined by Ronan Whelan, who is the Chief Commercial Officer with Ciro. Ronan, how are you?
Jonathan, it was great and good to be on your show today. Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. We met when you launched in Cork, because I remember it was 2018 when we didn't even know what a pandemic was. And we were talking about rolling it out to, I can't remember how many homes, but not a huge amount of them. But you've made great progress since.
Yeah, I think you're talking about July 2018. We said we'd invest 60 million euro in the rollout of it. So we've made great progress. To date, we've built about 45,000 premises with fiber to the premises, which is gigabit speed. So it's like 10, 20 times faster than what people are experiencing at the moment. We hope to build another about 10 to 15,000 by the end of this year. It brings up to about 60, with an overall goal of getting to 70,000 within the Cork region. So that's kind of our core plan. So we built, Jonathan, we built in Carrigig Line, Ballinacollig, Skibbereen has probably been in the press a lot, Cork City, Little Island. So we've been in a lot of locations within Cork. So yeah, we're delighted with the progress within Cork.
The infrastructure became really important, as I said, in the last 12 months, hasn't it? Because the idea of having great broadband in the office is a given, but not everybody had great broadband at home.
Absolutely. I think for all of us, the world has really changed. Obviously, we're all working from home, as per this phone call here now, this interview. I think even for Cork in the region, there's so many multinationals down in Cork, and the economy is so heavily reliant on it. It's so important that people have access, great access at home. I think even to keep your kids quiet as well, you certainly need it. So there's a bit of a mixed bag in there, from video streaming, moving online. But Zoom calls are standard now. We're all on them. So without really high quality broadband that Ciro supplies at fiber speeds, this is what you really need. So I'd really encourage people to go on Ciro.ie and check out the rare code and see if they can get it online. But yeah, it's massive change, all right.
Was the rollout that you had planned impacted by COVID? Because there presumably were times when your crews couldn't go out. You're obviously vital infrastructure, and you're run by the ESB in partnership with Vodafone. But did it affect your plans to get it to more people?
I think in terms of how sales have gone during the period, I think humbly we are very lucky that sales have been great during this period, because people have required it. So we've connected a lot of customers during this period. However, in terms of building the network, certainly that's been more challenging, because we would have to do ESB electrical outages in certain locations to do it. So they've been put on hold. So we've been probably a little bit slower in terms of building out the network, but connecting customers much faster. Some pluses and minuses, and as I said, we're humble on that success that we've had during this period, because it's been tough on a lot of businesses during this period.
The technology is relatively new still, but it's a really competitive space, because I know in some places where you have rolled out with your product, there are lots of others there as well. Air would have a product there, maybe Virgin Media would have a product coming in on top of existing mobile phone providers, and let's face it, lots of them have rolled out 5G as well. It's going to become a really crowded marketplace. How are you going to stay on top of that?
It's critical technology, and it's critical infrastructure to Ireland. We believe there's certainly, we've built 375,000 locations already. We'd probably get about 420, 450 by the end of this year. So we're very comfortable and with our performance state, and it's been really successful. So there's definitely room for all, and people, consumers and businesses need competition, and they need choice. So certainly we are the challenger that supplies that choice. And without it, I don't think you'd see the level of fiber infrastructure happening without a Ciro in the marketplace.
How worried are you though about the likes of Elon Musk putting up Starlink, which hasn't launched here yet, but in theory is going to be an alternative for consumers in the future. I mean, do you think that we will always have a physical permanent link for it to be reliable? Are you going to see some of your market share being nibbled away quite literally from space?
Listen, I think technology is always, anything's possible. So, and Elon Musk has certainly been successful in many different areas. So you'd certainly have to take it seriously. However, if you look at the investments across all multinationals and telcos across the entire planet, it's all on fiber to the premises. And this is the technology that Cyro is rolling out. And it's been a significant investment, and the capability and the future proofing of this technology is insane. So we deliver 1 gigabit technology at the moment to businesses and to consumers. So that's 20 times probably faster than what people are securing at home. But that can go up to 10 gigs, 40 gigs, 100 gigs. So it's really limitless, Jonathan. And so from that perspective, it really protects and future proofs Cork and future proofs Ireland as well. So yeah, we're very comfortable in it.
I remember when a gigabit was installed in a building and everyone went, oh, that sounds like loads, we'll never use it. But already we know gigabit is almost the kind of the basic entry point, particularly if you're a heavy user, of which there are many and many more to come. Are you saying that the tech that you've already put up into these homes, you're going to be able to provide 10 gigabits, 50 gigabits more if needed without having to put new infrastructure in place?
100%. We will actually launch 10 gigabit technology to consumers in certain locations this year. So this isn't a pipe dream of something down the track of telco selling dreams. This is a reality and it's available now, and it doesn't require us to do any upgrades within the houses and all that kind of stuff. So it's once the fiber is in place, you've got the hard work done. Hugely important.
How important is it that you have that partnership that I mentioned, that ESB partnered with Vodafone? Two big players, kind of, you know, it's like seeing two people at a wedding that you wouldn't have seen as a couple, but yet there you are. You know, Vodafone have the communications experience, ESB have the poles. How useful has that been?
Oh, it's been incredible, to be honest with you. Like, they're two different cultures, but at the same time, ESB and Vodafone have huge credibility. And when you're setting up a telco, which we were from brand scratch new, to have that credibility on rollout, hugely important. To have Vodafone as a retail partner and pushing broadband sales, particularly at the start stages, was so important. And they've also, to be fair to Vodafone, they've been big drivers of gigabit speeds and driving that speed agenda within the marketplace. So really important. Credibility-wise, ESB, you know, when you're rolling out an infrastructure, the access to that infrastructure is so important. So we have access to the ducts and the poles and that kind of stuff. So that gives us a real advantage. And it's built, it's really high quality stuff. So it's not falling down poles across Ireland type stuff. It's all really well invested and maintained infrastructure.
Yeah, and keep rolling it out because there is more need for it. Where does this go? Because we saw in the last 12 months an increased reliance, as I said, on the internet. Did you see that? Did you see why there's a massive spike in demand for data? You know, could you see the metrics coming through? I know internet data providers will have been looking after it, but as the people firing the cables along, could you see a huge jump in usage last year?
Yes, we could. Certainly, we've seen significant uplifts, and absolutely through lockdown, you can absolutely see massive changes in what people are using in terms of data. It's also the platforms that people are using. We're constantly on, as you say, everyone's streaming videos and everyone's on conference calls. And then future-wise, AI and those type of technologies are going to become standard at home. So you really need a high-speed gigabit type technologies to allow those to happen. So, yeah, we've certainly forecast that. We also probably forecast, Jonathan, the copper infrastructure. So the copper infrastructure has sort of served Ireland very well for a long time, but it's pretty much dead at this particular stage, and it's been replaced over time from all the carriers, including Cyro and Air and the NBI. This is the future. And I think it's important to say that 50% of the country now has the potential to connect to FTTP. So even though it's a challenge for people that don't have the service, it's certainly, we've seen tremendous growth in availability of it. And I think within 3 years, we'll see that transition to 100% fiber across the country. So that's where we're going.
Well, as somebody living in a black spot, I think that's a very, very good plan. You've announced where you are, and you're successfully offering the service. Where's next on the list?
So we've done 375 premises across 5,000 premises, not just 375. And we'd like to do 420, 450 by the end of this year. From that, we're certainly going to look at what other options are available within Ireland. And certainly we would like to be in a position, given the success of phase one, it probably sets us up well to do more. But certainly that's what we will, that would be in our intent to try and to drive more growth. But commercially, okay, not available just yet, Jonathan.
All right. Well, look, on behalf of the people who sat down and watched entire box sets while also managing Zoom calls and keeping the kids quiet, thank you for the effort you put in over the last 12 months, particularly during lockdown. Rhoda Whelan, Chief Commercial Officer of Syro. Thanks for joining us on Red
Business. Thanks, Jonathan. Take care of yourself. Bye.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
One of the latest additions to Cork's very, very broad tapestry of food and beverage outlets are these wonderful caravans that are rolling out right around the country, producing some really good stuff. And my next guest is the owner of one said same vintage van. It's a Citroen HY. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure that Siobhan Quirko-Halpine of the Quirky Kitchen is going to tell me all about it. Siobhan, how are you?
I'm very well, Jonathan. Thanks. How are you keeping?
I'm good. What is a Citroen HY?
A Citroen HY, it's an old vintage French van. It's an industrial kind of working vehicle. Kind of made back in the 1940s, 50s, they kind of started production of them. So you'd see them around France back in the day, kind of delivering bread to the boulangerie, or see them going to the butchers. They were used for all sorts of industrial kind of activities, and very kind of sturdy looking buses. So kind of the galvanized metallic finish. So when I was first looking into the idea of getting a mobile coffee truck, this was the one I really wanted, because I wanted a real vintage look. So the HY Citroen was perfect for me. So that my one's actually 1974, and it came all the way over from France. I sourced it in France, so finally it took a few years to get the right one, because they're actually quite rare.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it here. I mean, I recognize them instantly from old French films and stuff like that, but I'm presuming, given that it is older than you or I, this particular van, it needed a bit of TLC to get it right to sell coffee out of it.
It did, yeah, yeah. So it took, so I bought it in July of 2020. It eventually came across France through the UK and into Ireland. And then I had to get it customised to, obviously I had to get it kitted out for HSE requirements, you know, kind of stainless steel and health and safety and all that is paramount when you're dealing with food and all that kind of stuff. So so that took longer than expected. So it was about 3 months, really. 3 to 4 months. I bought it in July, so it was a kind of October, November by the time it was kind of kitted out. And then you've all these hidden things, like obviously you need a coffee machine, that was the most important factor. So then you have the hidden kind of things that you don't even realize when you're starting out, like, you know, just all the different supplies and stocks, and every day you realize you've forgotten something, so that kind of delays the process as well. But it all came together eventually, so started up and running then the first week of December, so we kind of hit the ground running with the kind of Christmas market.
Yeah.
Which is great. So I started out, my uncle has a farm in Shannon, down the gateway to West Cork, as they call it. So he does a Christmas tree farm every Christmas, obviously. So I started up there, and I haven't looked back since. Okay. It's going great.
Now,
life.
Was this your plan, Siobhan? Did you always have a plan to sell coffee out of the back of a rejuvenated French bread delivery vehicle?
Not necessarily, no, but I've always had a keen interest in food and cooking and baking. Just since I was a kid, it's been a fascination, passion of mine. And I suppose growing up in West Cork as well, it's synonymous with like quality produce and homemade and artisan products. So it's kind of inevitable, really, that I had an interest in all that. So So yeah, it's a lifelong dream of mine. So from kind of watching my mum and my granny kind of baking in the kitchen and cakes and stuff, it's garnered a real interest in food, and I'm just super excited now that it's come to realization, and I'm now kind of living the dream and reviving the creative streak in our family, you know.
Well, you're doing well out of it. As I said, you're doing the teas and the coffees. You're doing the baking as well. You're on your feet a lot, though, I'm guessing, because if you have to bake your own stuff, that has to be done before you get into the van, drive it to the location, stand in the back of it, and start selling. So I'm presuming it's a labour-intensive business, this out of the back of a van job.
100%. Absolutely. I mean, it's a labor of love, but it's a labor, like I'm really enjoying it. As I said, people say flippantly that they're living the dream, but I am genuinely living the dream at the moment, like, so but yeah, it is busy. I mean, people probably see you with queues and like saying, Jesus, she must be making a fortune, but they don't see all the hard work and effort that goes in behind the scenes, and you know, you have to buying your supplies and like just there's always something to be done, and then cleaning up afterward, like cleaning up for about an hour or
Yeah,
two
well, no,
afterward, like.
don't forget, nobody wants the joy of cleaning up. That always has to be somebody else. Now,
Yeah.
I'm a well-known coffee phobe. I don't drink coffee. It's just something I don't do, and I don't know, that makes me rather unusual. But as a tea drinker, it always drives me mad how long it takes to make a cup of coffee. Have you become better at it and faster at it?
You see, I know people get frustrated with the wait, but you can't, genuine, you can't actually really speed it up. It takes as long as it takes, like, and it's actually quite scientific, coffee. And there's like, you actually have a recipe for a coffee and you have to adhere to that, otherwise it will affect the taste and the standard of your end product. So patience is a virtue in the coffee world, and usually it's worth the wait, in my opinion
Yeah,
anyways.
well, no, and look, they wouldn't be queuing if they didn't think it was going to be worthwhile. And given that it's a family business, who have you roped in to help you?
Well, I'm the creative director, and then my husband then is the he's the financial director.
Right, okay. And you
So
better tell everyone who your husband is.
my husband, he used to play hurling with Cork. I think he was actually the last All Ireland winning captain, so Sean
He's
O'Gallagher,
still
he's
saying
my
that, is he?
husband.
He's still using that out loud, that he is the last fella to lift
Yeah. Well, I'm
the.
using it for him, he's too modest.
And what does Sean Oak do? He looks after the finances, but does he actually help out in the back of the truck?
He does actually, yeah, so he takes the money. I make the coffee, he takes the money, and he'll wrap up your sweet treats for you and service with a smile. And oh, he's great at the customer service. When it's raining, he brings out the umbrellas and he'll stand and hold the umbrellas over our customers.
Well, as I said,
So
useful as a small pot then, with you doing all the heavy lifting behind him.
I know, it's the little PR touches that count as well, you know, Jonathan. So he's very valuable addition.
Good, good. Well, hold on to him, so you won't get rid of him just yet. The only thing I'd say
No.
about it is there's lots of these after starting, and it's great because we've a summer of outdoors, God willing, coming up in the next couple of months. So you're going to be really, really busy. But is there an
Yeah.
etiquette around coffee trucks and food trucks that you know? Do you end up like the scene in Anchorman, where you've got the news teams kind of facing off against each other, or how do you manage if two of you rock up to the same location at the same time?
Oh, yeah, a bit like truck wars, I know. Coffee gate, I suppose. It'll probably happen eventually, but I know it's all good. People kind of are quite respectful of each other. Like, obviously, you don't kind of park up down the road. Like, maybe you could serve complementing products, but you wouldn't serve kind of competing products, you know, that kind of way. Do you know the way, like, say, down in Garrettstown, now you'd have like a donut guy or you'd have a pizza guy, and sometimes they'd add to your product or your offering. So yeah, there's an etiquette, like it's an unwritten rule really, I suppose, that like, you know, you don't pull up and start serving the exact same kind of thing, like
Yeah, and but you are mobile, so do you keep moving to different locations, or do you have set locations on set days?
no, that was a lot. The initial plan was to kind of move around kind of the Kinsale and the Shannon area. But just with COVID and stuff at the moment, we secured a patch in Barrett's Bar there in Main Street in the Shannon, you know, the courtyard. So we're passing by, you can't miss it. It's a big yellow pub, orangey yellow pub, on the left hand side driving towards West Cork. So we're going to stay there for the next while anyway, and kind of see how we go and what the feedback from the customers is, because we're after building up a clientele of regulars now as well, and you don't want to necessarily be moving on and kind of, you know, annoying them if they come down looking for you and
Oh,
you're not
no,
there, you
no,
know, that
God,
kind
yeah.
of thing.
Oh, too, you don't want to scorn the customers. But
It's
it's obviously the Quirky Kitchen
the
named after yourself, because you are Siobhan Quirk O'Halpine. So the name is your brand and your quality. Is this for the long haul, do you think, Siobhan?
Definitely. No, this is I'm in it for the long haul for sure. I've been waiting years to use my surname in a business. So I was like, I have to do the quirky something, like, and being so into food and coffee and all that, I was like, oh yeah, Quirky Kitchen, that's it.
Well, look, we wish you and your helper, Sean Ogue, the best of luck as you continue to go down on this. And look, I one of these days when, God willing, I'm getting down to West Cork at some stage over the summer, I look forward to coming in and tasting the produce from your truck and indeed the many others that are across Cork. But for now, Siobhan Quirk O'Halpine, owner of the Quirky Kitchen, which at this moment in time is parked up in Inishannon. Thank you so much for joining us on Red Business.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jonathan. Take care. Have a good day.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Over the next few months, we're going to transition from working from home full time to maybe going back to the office for a bit, to maybe going back to the office full time. And eventually it'll all measure out. But one of the things that probably has been overlooked in the last 12 months is how well we manage our own cybersecurity and that of the companies we work with. Have cyber criminals seen an opportunity in a crisis for them to do what they do well? Kevin O'Regan is a director of Radius Cork. He's with me now. Kevin, how are you?
Hi, Jonathan. How are things?
I'm good. Thank you very much for talking to us. Has there been a big increase in breaches in the last year, and have cyber criminals been using the opportunity of people working from home to do that?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think the you know some of the statistics out there would follow that up. You know, some of the numbers we're seeing would be up to 30 or 40% increase in the number of cyber attacks and breaches in the SME sector in the last year. And I think that part of the reason for that is that you know, cyber criminals they thrive on confusion and they thrive on change. So in that period, you know, over the last year, we've just been doing things differently. You know, things are not the same. So because of that, cyber criminals are able to jump in and take advantage of that. Yeah, definitely.
So how did they do that? I mean, is it the fact that maybe security on your home Wi-Fi mightn't be as good as it would be, say, if you were sitting in an office behind their firewall?
I suppose if you kind of look at the story of what happened over the last 12 months, when the pandemic hit first, everybody, you know, all business owners, their first objective was to send people home. And Microsoft did another survey recently, and they found surprisingly that they interviewed 500 people over 200 companies, and they found that up to 45% of employers requested that employees use their home devices or home PCs to work from home. And I suppose that that's the first, you know, would be a first no-no for employers to, you know, they really shouldn't ask their employees to work from home using home devices. So, because you have a change in environment, and because you've a change in systems, the exposure is very high. So typically, what we saw when SMEs did move home is they were very conscious of setting up a secure connection into their IT systems in their office. But if the device that they use is compromised, then that secure tunnel, or what we call a VPN, is completely unsecure. So the very first thing to look at is your devices that you're using. You know, don't share devices. Don't use home devices. If your employer wants you to work from home, and I would say to employers, if you want your staff to work from home, you need to provide them with secure devices. So that's the number one, would be to make sure that your devices are not shared. And if they have to be shared, at a minimum, make sure that all your family members are using separate profiles.
Okay, now that's all well and good. We're 12 months into this. How much damage could potentially have been done that people aren't aware of right now? Because cyber criminals tend not to jump up and go, ha ha, I got you. They tend to bide their time.
No, absolutely, and I think they are the most dangerous type of attacks where, a breach has occurred and the cyber criminals take their time to, I suppose, assess the information and assess what's going on. There's probably two types of attacks that are most critical for SME owners. Number one is where what we call a man in the middle attack, where the cyber criminal pretends to be somebody that the employer or the employee is familiar with and attempts to fool them into doing certain activities, for example, transferring funds. And in that situation, there's a lot of profiling goes on. And in the other scenario, probably ransomware is probably the second most really, really concerning type of attack. And in that situation, the cyber criminal will spend a lot of time, you know, searching his way through the environment and making sure he understands where the critical data is, and then they pull the trigger and they encrypt the data. So certainly, in a lot of cases, the profiling is already done, but it's never too late to go in and to do an analysis and a review and do what we would call a cybersecurity audit to go in and assess what type of information is there. I know that the head of the FBI a number of years ago, he specified there really only are two types of companies in the world today when it comes to cybersecurity, those who know that they've been breached and those who don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. They say the same about helicopter pilots and crashes. But if we talk about small and medium enterprises, a lot of the time what they say is, sure, we're okay. Nobody wants our information. But we've seen a couple of high-profile breaches and we know the damage that they can cause to reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we work with the SME sector across Ireland, and we have a really good understanding of the concerns that the SME owners have. And I think there's probably four main concerns that are out there right now. Would be cyber threats from home working, productivity of their staff. Employers want their staff to be productive from no matter where they work. They want efficiency for their staff. They want them no matter where they work from. They want them to be able to be 100% productive. And also that level of flexibility. And I think just going back to your question, Jonathan, there's probably two types of cyber attacks out there, right? There's the top end enterprise cyber attack, which we would call a focused attack. But then there's the random type attack, which is more to do with the SME sector. It's kind of where, I suppose, an opportunity presents itself to a cyber criminal. And in that situation, it's a random attack. And for example, a ransomware attack where the cyber criminal requests a ransom to be paid so that all the employer's data would be returned to them. It would be the typical type of attack where it's random. There's very little profiling going on, but the result for the business owner is absolutely critical because their business is completely down unless they have got solid backups and they can recover their business. A random attack can be detrimental to any business owner.
Okay. So what's the most important thing that employers and business owners need to do right now if they are in that SME space, which is the group that you work with primarily? What can they do now to protect themselves and maybe to prepare themselves for what you say is the inevitable attempt to rob information?
Well, I think, look, if you look at the story again that I happened, we all moved home very quickly. We thought it was going to be for 8 to 12 weeks. Business owners put in some temporary type solutions, remote connection from laptops into their servers or their on-premise networks in their office. That initially was there as a kind of an 8 to 12 week solution when this pandemic hit. We're a year down the road. We can see now that the work patterns are changing, requirements are going to change. I think that the most important thing that business owners do is they do a root and branch review of their IT infrastructure, decide what type of business they want to run, what type of employee workforce they want to have, how much time do people want to spend at home, and reconstruct their entire IT infrastructure with cybersecurity in mind. And a key, very key part of that solution would be a full private cloud solution. That's a very powerful technology when it comes to protecting business owners against a cyber attack. And in that model, all the business owners' data, all the business owners' software, even the virtual laptops or virtual PCs that the employees use are located within a private, secure cloud environment. So there's no data moved around the place. There's no data in your employee's home. So what you end up with is a totally secure bubble where all your systems, your software, your data are located. And that's a great starting point.
Okay, well, look, that's solid advice, and hopefully people will take it on board. Radius.ie is the website if people want to get in contact with you. But for now, Kevin O'Regan, Director of Radius Cork, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, Jonathan, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.
My thanks, as always, to all of my guests. Don't forget, you can download every episode right now from redextra.ie. Kieran McDonough was the producer again this week, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.